Amazing, and I just love the Lord this morning. Just hope everyone's doing well. Let's all stand if you can. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we open up our service. I'm going to ask each and every one of you, as we do many, many times, just turn off everything. Any device, anything that's in your head that's distracting you from the Word of God and from His precious love, let's just turn all of our attention on the Lord. As we come together in prayer, let's just be in one mind and one accord. Just let the Lord just minister to us, no matter what the needs or situations are. Praise God. If you have a prayer request this morning, just show by raising your hand. God knows and sees each and every one. Good to see all of our visitors, all of our friends that's here this morning, all those of you that are here. Those watching on the live feed, welcome, welcome this morning. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, as we come together this morning, dear Lord, may we be in one mind of one accord. Lord, may we just put all of our attention on you, dear Lord. Lord, as we just want to praise you, we want to worship you, we want to thank you for your many, many blessings. Lord, for the opportunities you've given us, dear Lord, for always interceding on our behalf, dear Lord. And as we, in this season, as we prepare for the Easter season, Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the ultimate sacrifice, dear Lord, for your Jesus, for that precious blood that you shed for each and every one of us, dear Lord. And we just love you. Lord, as we come together now, dear Lord, for every prayer request and all of your hand that was raised, the depths of our hearts, both spoken and unspoken, Lord, we're placing them in your hands. Lord, we know that you're the healer, the provider, the creator of all, dear Lord. And no matter what circumstances we're in, there's nothing greater than you. Lord, you're the greatest of great, dear Lord. We just love and praise you.
Amen.
Lord, now we ask that you'll bless our pastor and his family.
Yes, Lord.
Strengthen them as they go about your work. Each and every ministry, dear Lord, that comes forth from our church.
Yes.
Lord, we ask now that you'll bless and continue to strengthen. Lord, for this live feed or these feeds that go out over the airways, dear Lord. Lord, may they just go out and touch someone, dear Lord. May your salvational word, Lord, just go and just give us peace. And, Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say,
amen,
amen, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. While you're standing, turn to page 92. It's an old favorite, Just a Little Talk with Jesus. Amen. Tell them how much the Lord loves them this morning. Praise God. Love each and every one of you. Praise the Lord. Used to never say stuff like that. I don't even know. Goodness gracious. Well, no, God is mighty. Amen. He's a healing God. Amen. Got a young man coming up to take our offering this morning. Just praise the Lord. I don't have any announcements here pending. Does anyone have anything this morning? Okay, apparently not. Praise God. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless our offering this morning, please?
Dear Lord, we thank you, Lord, again, Lord, for our children in your household. We thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
How many is going home with Jesus? Could be the twinkling of an eye. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. The captain of the vessel, he's calling, get on board, and the destination's heaven, safe on the crystal shore. We'll meet with all our Savior, our loved ones gone before. We'll live through all eternity, thank God I'm going home. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. Any time, and a crown of life that's waiting, thank God soon be mine. I've got my invitation through a place called Calvary. By the precious blood of Jesus, the trip's been paid for me. I'm going home to Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, but I may not know the day. The trumpet sound most any time, and a crown of life that's waiting, thank God, soon be mine. I've got my invitation through a place called Calvary. By the precious blood of Jesus, the trip's been paid for me. And I'm going home with Jesus
knew that made Gabe's day, because he's been wanting Brother Eddie to sing that song for quite some time now. It's funny because Gabe's room is downstairs, and he rattles our house when he starts playing music. And a lot of times when I go to bed in my bathroom, I can hear his room, and it does his mama's heart good to hear her son playing the praises of the Lord before he goes to sleep. He just lets it roll while he goes off to sleep. And I mean, he may be playing some Alan Jackson singing the Christian music, but it still does my heart good to hear the praises of the Lord coming from his room. But he's been wanting Brother Eddie to sing that song for a while, so thank you, Brother Eddie, for singing that this morning. Y'all worship with me this morning. Let's raise a hallelujah in this place today.
Heaven comes to fight for me. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you love the Lord this morning? Come on, give Him praise.
Amen.
You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see each and every one of you. Let everybody know how welcome they are this morning. How glad we are that they came to be the Lord. Amen. Are we going to get her? Brother Thomas, if you would, go down and ask Sister Lori to come up. Tell her she's not in trouble.
Well,
at church, anyway. Praise God. We do love our ministry so very much. They're so much a vital part
Amen.
Of First Pentecostal Church. Each and every one, whether you're a part of that ministry or each individual ministry, you're still a part of the church. And we thank God for you and everything that you do and everything that you're so faithful in servitude here at the church. Amen. How many knows that we need to be about God's business? Amen. So much. All right. She'll be up here shortly. She doesn't know anything at all about this, so I love surprises, especially when they're on somebody else. So we're going to surprise her this morning with a little card of thanks for what she does. Many of you know, and I know you know because I see the text. When we send out a text, it goes to Sister Lori. She, in turn, texts that to the church so that an immediate prayer line can be started on behalf of each and every request. We know that requests don't always come in very convenient times. Sometimes we may be traveling or this, that, and the other, but Sister Lori is always so good and instrumental, amen, to be able to pass those on. Sister Lori, if you would come forward this morning. I see that look of shock on her face, but it's a good thing. It's a very good thing. Brother Thomas is grabbing you and bringing you up. Amen. Where's the card? Mention about what, huh? A little prayer wheel turning, because that's what you do. Amen. So this is a little token. For all that you do. For being that one who receives those prayer requests and in turn, in a timely manner, gets those prayer requests out to us. I know it sometimes may be a thankless job, but we want to let you know how much that means to us. And through your text, we have immediate reaction and immediate prayer line beginning as soon as that text blast is sent out. So I've had several people in the church say, you know what? She's so faithful in doing that. We need to let her know how much. That's a big part of the ministry of First Pentecostal Church. So God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we thank you for sending those prayer requests out. Amen. Because that lets us know as a church, amen, when there's a need, amen, and we can immediately begin to pray for that need. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of St. John. In the 11th chapter of the book of St. John. Now, many of you, when you get there, you're going to say this is such a familiar story. But can I tell you, this week as I was reading and praying and reading again about this particular event, this wonderful, miraculous event of the raising of Lazarus, God began to speak to me in one particular verse. And I want to share that with you this morning because I believe that it is timely for the day and hour that you are living in. And isn't it amazing that words that were written thousands of years ago, amen, are still instrumental in our everyday life today. Amen. And thank God for the living word. Not to keep you standing very long, but in the 11th chapter, we're going to read verses 1, 2, and 3, and then we're going to drop down to verse number 17. Again, from the 11th chapter of the book of St. John, beginning with verse number 1. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. In verse number 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs, or about approximately 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Can we pray? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for those who have gathered here today. God, for your anointing spirit and power. Father, I pray the leadership of the Holy Ghost throughout this service. God, I pray that you would anoint me, God, with that anointing from on high. God, anoint these lips of clay, God, that I might be just a vessel. God, that the Holy Spirit would speak to us this morning. Help us to be submissive, obedient, God, to your will and to your word. And Father, we do remember those who are sick, those who are suffering. And Father, those who are lost and undone, who have not made a commitment to Christ. Father, I pray, God, that you would move upon them with your convicting power. Bring them to an altar of repentance. Father, I ask now that you have your will and way in this service, and we'll give you praise and honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Before you're seated, or as you're being seated, if you're going home with Jesus, give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Looking forward to that day. But until then, may we continue to work as though we have an eternity and live for the Lord as though he's coming in the next moment. Man, if we'll do that, amen, we will be dedicated and consecrated to the Lord. Through that message of resurrection and the love that Jesus had for this particular family, I want to preach a message entitled, Jesus is Coming. Turn to your neighbor and tell them this morning, Jesus is coming. With the emphasis on is, he is coming. May not be when we fully expect him, but he is coming. As I was reading this story of Lazarus being raised from the dead, and what a miraculous story that was. And how that Jesus had a plan even in the death of Lazarus. The Bible says here, according to the Apostle John, or according to his writings, it was he whom thou lovest, telling us that the Lord had a wonderful relationship with Lazarus, and in particular, this family. Bible history tells us that on many occasions, when Jesus was in and around Bethany, he would often stop at the house of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, and they welcomed him in there, and many, many times they would prepare food for him and just have a wonderful time of communication and just, kind of catching up on everything that's going on. You know, for a number of years, 3.5 years, Jesus was in the ministry, and most of his ministry was teaching and preaching to multitudes of people and healing and people seeking him. And on many occasions, we find that the writers of the word said the multitude thronged him. And even though he was the Spirit of God robed in flesh, that flesh still grew weary and tired. And I would imagine it was very refreshing that he had a place where he could go and just kind of put his feet up and be himself. And the Bible tells us he found that kind of comfort in the company of Martha and Mary and of Lazarus, people that he loved and people that he had something in common with. One occasion tells us that when he was visiting them, that Martha was busy about the household chores. She was preparing and ministering for the company that Jesus was there. And she grew a little bit perplexed with her sister, who found herself at the feet of Jesus, sitting there listening as he taught. And in one occasion, it says it was that Mary that anointed Jesus with some very expensive ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. So she loved Jesus, and she knew Jesus to be the Messiah. But Martha was busy about the household. Bible history tells us that Bethany was in fact a place, if we would refer to it today, it would be similar to a place of hospice care.
it was kind of a poor part of the nation, poor part of the country. And a lot of the people that lived there didn't have very much material things, but one thing that they had learned to do was share with others. And oftentimes, people who were down and out, people who were sick and afflicted, would find themselves in some of the homes of Bethany, and the people, the residents of Bethany there, would spend a lot of time preparing for them food that they had and ministering to them. Maybe Martha was one that was very instrumental in doing this. Whatever it was, caused her to be a busy person about this time. But understand, that did not take away the love and admiration that she had for Jesus Christ. She just showed it in maybe a different way than Mary did. Now, the Bible tells us quite a bit about the characteristics of Mary and Martha, but says very little about Lazarus. One Bible scholar thought that it might have been that maybe Lazarus came along later in life. Maybe he was quite younger than the other two sisters. And don't know exactly, because the Bible doesn't say a lot about it. But the one thing that it does let us know, without a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus Christ loved Lazarus. And that Jesus probably knew that Lazarus was going to play a very important and vital part into his ministry. So he was telling the disciples, in fact, when Jesus got the news that Lazarus was sick, he tarried. He did not go immediately. And you know the story. Did not go to Bethany immediately. In fact, from where he was, he took the route back to Jerusalem. And from Jerusalem, he stayed there a couple of more days until he got the disciples and told them that he was going to see his friend Lazarus, who was, in fact, the disciples said, well, you know, if you're going to him, he said, well, he's asleep. And the disciples said, well, if he's asleep, he's doing well. And Jesus very pointedly told them, Lazarus is dead. Now, you and I may not understand or comprehend the hesitancy of Jesus. What would make him? What would compel him? Knowing the condition that Lazarus was in, knowing the relationship that he had with Martha and Mary and Lazarus, whom he loved so very much, what would compel Jesus to stay a couple of more days after he knew that Lazarus was at the point of death and actually had died before he made any move? Can I tell you today that we need never put a time limit on the Lord Jesus Christ when we relinquish our prayers to him? Amen, because Jesus knows better, and he's got a better timetable than you and I could ever have. And as the song says, he's always on time. He's an on-time God. Amen. He may not be there when we want him, but he's never late. Amen. He has a reason for doing this. And as I was reading this story and being refreshed of the great love that Jesus had, we even find in this particular chapter that Jesus wept. The only time, I believe, according to my recollection, that we find in the Bible where it was recorded that Jesus wept. Many scholars say he wept because of the unfaithfulness of the Jews that were there around him, knowing that, or not realizing that he was able to raise Lazarus from the dead. But I believe the fleshly part of Jesus, who had grown so close to this family, wept not for Lazarus, but wept for the sorrow and the agony that the sisters were going through, and especially Mary, because she seemed to be more affected by the death of Lazarus, even more so than Martha. So there's several things in this particular chapter that it seemingly is more than Jesus just raising Lazarus from the dead. And when I read verse number 20, I believe with all of my heart that the Holy Ghost gripped my heart almost as something would flash before your very eyes. It even made cold chills go up and down my arm and the back of my neck. And I read it again, and I began to pray, and I began to seek the Lord for the time that you and I are now living in, and the consequences that are happening right before our very eyes, and to know that we love and serve a Savior who is aware of everything that you and I are going through. He knows the problems. He knows the issues. But it all may very well be a part of the plan of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the world may think that He's come a little late, but I'm here to tell you, everything is just in His time frame. If we'll just see eyes of faith, God's got it under control, church. God knows what He's doing. And I want to remind the church, and I want to remind the world, and I want to remind the news media, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. It will not be the first promise that He's ever broken. He has never broken a promise. It may not be the time that you and I expect. It may not be the time that we think surely the eastern sky is going to split. But saints of God, hold on, because Jesus is coming with His reward. Hallelujah. If we look forward to great anticipation of the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When Jesus says, Lazarus is dead, the story takes on a little bit of a deeper meaning, I believe. In fact, I believe it becomes a type and shadow of Jesus' second coming. Because in verse number 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met Him. I don't know if that was a hair or a string, but I don't want it. As soon as she heard, good Lord, that Jesus was coming, she went and she met Him. Thank God for those, the very first time that they heard that Jesus was coming back, they left everything aside and they went and they met Him at an altar of repentance. They poured their heart out to God. They said, I want to be ready. He may not come today and He may not come tomorrow, but I know He's coming again and I want to be right now. The same Martha who was too busy in the house preparing the food, preparing the house. Everything looked just immaculate because of the visitation of Jesus. Has now realized Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Mom and Dad, I want you to realize Jesus is coming. The reason moms and dads need to realize that Jesus is coming, because we have precious children. Come on. Hallelujah. Not putting an age limit on it. But there comes a time in a child's life when they need to know that Jesus is coming. And because Jesus is coming, He's coming for a church that is without spot and that is without blemish, and a church that is looking for Him each and every day. He didn't come yesterday, but that doesn't mean He can't come today. Every day, every moment, we need to be looking for the coming of Christ, but spreading the word as though we had an eternity to work. So Martha realized that Jesus was here, and she went to meet Him. But my heart sank when it said, but Mary sat still in the house. I told you earlier, it was almost like it just flashed in my little finite mind. The many occasions and the many times that we as a church have sit in the congregation of the Lord, heard the songs of praise and worship, felt the mighty anointing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody come by too late to tell me that Jesus doesn't deliver anymore. I have seen it. I have witnessed it. The delivering power. I have seen spiritual chains broken asunder and people delivered from a number of things. I know that Jesus Christ and His Spirit is real. And it flashed how that some over the years, not just this congregation, not just this building, not just this church, but have sat in the congregation of saints through the worship and praise, hearing the message over and over, get ready because Jesus is coming. And you must be born again. But have sat still in the house. For whatever reason, Mary was not an evil person. Mary was a dedicated, faithful friend of Jesus. One that let everything else go aside to sit down at His feet and learn of Him and listen to Him and hinge on every word that Jesus spoke. So much love and adoration. She took the costliest perfume or oil that she had and she anointed Him and took her hair and wiped His feet, showing humbleness, love, and gratitude. But could it have been that Mary felt a little ill will that Jesus didn't come in her time? So we find that when she says, "Lord, if You had only come sooner, my brother would not have died." Could it have been that Mary strayed a little bit away from the faith that she grew up in? The closeness, dear Lord, relationship that she had with Jesus because of some hurt, because of some lack of faith a little bit. Maybe even because of an accusation against God that He didn't answer a prayer that she wanted Him to. Could this have caused her to have a little ill will toward Jesus? I'll just sit here in the house because He should have showed up earlier. So, "Oh, Brother Eddie, we'd never do anything like that." I've heard people say, "Lord, why did You let my mother die?" And I'm not trying to be hateful or hurtful or offensive in any way. It's just this flesh sometimes doesn't understand the moving and the working of God. I've been in the ministry for years, and I can't tell you I fully understand and can comprehend the moving of God. But I know one thing. I've been in it long enough to recognize it when He does. And say, "Lord, I'm just going to get out of the way and let You be God and do it Your way." But God began to speak to me and in this flash or whatever you want to call it. He showed me countless people. Now, don't get upset. I didn't see particular faces. God didn't, you know, bestow that or allow me to see that. But I saw people who have known for many, many years about the coming of Jesus, but have sat idly by and said, "Well, it hasn't happened yet. I have plenty of time." God's time and our time is not the same. Come on. The very breath that we breathe can suddenly be snatched away from us in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And how we die is how we're going to meet Jesus. So how we die is how we're going to stand before the judgment seat. So for whatever reason, Mary sat still in the house. Maybe it was remorse. Maybe it was grief. Understand grief and sorrow. It is a gripping emotion which leaves even the strongest of saints sometimes to look toward heaven and say, God, why? If you really love me, why is this happening? Why am I being made to go through this? Lord, if you had just been here just a little earlier. Lord, if you had given me my heart's desire, found out a long time ago, my heart's desire is not always His desire. I'd rather have His desire than my heart's desire. I said, I'd rather the Lord direct my ways than ever me try to make them in my own way. But maybe it was grief. And maybe it was sorrow. And terrible remorse at the passing of a loved one. And probably each and every one of us have had to experience that at some time in our life. And I tell folks, it's never easy. And one thing I never, ever want to tell anybody, I know how you feel. I don't want to tell them that because their pain and misery and grief and sorrow, maybe it may not even measure up to mine, or mine may not be able to measure up with them. I don't know. I've experienced some pain and grief and sorrow in my own way, but I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the pain and sorrow, but I follow that up. There is one who does. And His name is Jesus. And only He can satisfy your soul. And only He can give you comfort. So maybe it was. We're good Christians. Let's give Mary the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it was extreme sorrow. Maybe it was heart-wrenching grief that caused her to be a little hesitant and sit idly by. I heard a very disturbing and alarming story years and years ago about a young family. I knew the man personally. He was a great, great guy. Wonderful personality. Great provider for his family. Loved his family, his wife and his children, and his precious little girls. This man was very instrumental in the church that he attended, belonged to, very faithful. Now I won't go into the details, but one of his precious little girls had a horrific accident. God took her home to be with Him. And this young daddy could not get over it. First of all, it was immense pain and sorrow and unbelievable grief. It gripped him. He couldn't work. He couldn't carry on a conversation without just bawling. When Jesus came, He said that many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And thank God for those precious brothers and sisters and loved ones who come to give comfort. But for this young dad, comfort didn't seem to come. People rallied around him. They supported him. But he could not get over it. One of the first things that he did was quit church. He left the fellowship of his brothers and sisters who were trying to comfort him. And he didn't say it, but in his actions, I'll just bear the grief by myself. I'll just carry this terrible load that he could not seem to get over. Now, it's one thing to leave the church and the comfort and the guidance and the helpfulness of brothers and sisters. But then when he began to point a finger of accusation at God, and he would only go on to say later that it become a hatred. And then a guilt. Why didn't you take me? Why would you take my precious little girl? I know and understand that pain and grief can be at times unbearable. But please, church, can I encourage you, never, ever in any instance turn from God. Because that's where we need to turn to when we have this heavy load of sorrow and pain and grief. And for a little while, there may be those passing thoughts. Why, God, do not let them dwell. They will drag you down and cause you to sit still in the house when Jesus is trying to reach you. Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, glory to God. Can I tell you, I'm somewhere in between Martha and Mary. I wished I could stand and testify today. As soon as I heard the gospel preached, as soon as I heard that Jesus died on the cross for me, as soon as I heard that He's coming back again, I wished I could testify and tell you I went immediately and found Jesus, but I didn't. I said, I'm too young. Too young. If we have any young people today, I don't want to alarm you. But if you think you're too young to die, take a stroll through the cemetery. There's some young people lying there now. Today is the day of salvation. But I was somewhere in between. Finally, I realized, and it took the convicting hand of God to grip my heart. I wasn't wearing a mask, but I didn't think I could get my next breath. How many has ever been in the convicting power of God? That preacher was preaching, which was my granddaddy, and I thought that I thought the church was just completely empty except him and me. I thought everything he said was directly at me. I thought every time he pointed his finger, it was directly at me. I thought every time he said of the terrible fakes of hell, I thought he was talking about me. And the convicting power of God gripped me. It wasn't the first message I ever heard. It probably wasn't even the first 100th message I heard. But that night, I realized that Jesus is coming. Whether he's coming through the clouds or whether he's coming and taking my breath away, he is coming, and I need to be ready. So I went and I met Jesus. And he loved me, and he forgave me, and he saved me, and he filled me, and he walks with me every day of my life, even when I lay down, even when I face the most strongest of adversity, he's still my Lord and Savior. So Martha's meeting Jesus. Martha says something very important. When she goes to meet Jesus, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. As Jesus said, he's going to live again. He's going to rise again. I know that, Lord. I know your word. And Jesus said unto her, I am. Ooh, glory. My Lord. Where have I heard that? Tell them, I am sent you. Glory to God. Not a will be, not a was, but I am. The resurrection, glory to God. And the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou that? Church, you believe that? Do you believe that? Then you believe that Jesus is coming too. Because it's written in the same book. It's written in the same book, Jesus is coming. She saith unto him, yea, Lord. Not why, Lord, but yea, Lord. Not, I don't know, Lord, but yea, Lord. Come on, when the Lord speaks to us, our response ought to be, yea, Lord. Yea, Lord, whatever you say. Amen. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way to her sister and called Mary. Glory to God. So thankful that Jesus called me to an altar of repentance. So thankful that he wiped my slate clean. So thankful he filled me with the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But I'm so thankful he gave me love and concern for my brother and my sister and those that have not met Jesus. She goes to Mary, her sister, secretly. One place says privately. Saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Brother, I don't know how to witness to people. I don't know what to say. I get tongue-tied when I try to quote Scripture. Tell them, the Master has come and He's calling for you. Amen. He's come in the form of a virgin birth. Amen. And He died on the cross of Calvary. And He's coming back again. But He came to bleed and die on the cross of Calvary for you. For you, Mary. He's come. The Master is come and call it for thee. Then Mary, as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto Him. Man. Hallelujah. Thank God that Mary got past her grief, got past her sorrow, got past her feeling that God had betrayed her and that Jesus didn't come in time. And as soon as she heard that Jesus called her, amen, she went to Him. Now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met Him. How many remembers that place? Glory. Amen. Some songwriter said, I can tell you the time, show you the place where the Lord saved me by His wonderful grace. Paraphrasing. But the building is still there in Rockmore, Georgia on Litchfield Street. I can take you into that church. And I believe I can take you to a point probably no wider than 6 inches and give you the direct spot on that side where I knelt that night and the Lord saved me. I'll never, ever forget that place. But I got news for you. It doesn't have to be that little altar in Rockmart. In close your ears, First Pentecostal Church, but it doesn't have to be this altar either. And church, really, it doesn't have to be an altar in any church. But I don't know a better place. But it can be a sofa in your living room. Or it can be lying completely prostrate on your bathroom floor thinking you're going to die and giving your life to Jesus. That can be that place too. Amen. Wherever it is, you come to the knowledge that you're nothing, He's everything, you're lost, He'll save you. It can be that place where Jesus comes into your life. Jesus is coming. Glory to God. Have you met Him? Are you going out to meet Him? Or are you sitting still in the house because of situations, because of adversity, because of pain or sorrow or grief, or whatever the case may be? As long as you'll sit idly by, Satan will keep giving you excuses not to go to Jesus. But folks, time is too short. Time is too short. I'm not here to prophesy to tell you the day or the hour. No man knows that. But the Bible also says when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. I'm going to throw this in and it ain't going to cost you a dime. We need to look past Washington for our redemption. Is that all right? Because it ain't going to come through Washington. It's not going to come through the governmental process. Our redemption comes from on high. Look up. That same Jesus that went away and ascended into heaven is coming back in like manner. Glory to God. Getting ready to receive a church. Amen. That has been born again.
filled with His Spirit. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 17. Verses 13, rather, through 17. The writer says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, unlearned, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that even you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." I spoke of the almost unbearable grief and pain and sorrow of the loss of a loved one. But if in fact that loved one had met Jesus, we're not a people without hope. Amen. If we Bible believers, we're believing that Jesus took them home to be with Him and everything's going to be all right. They're in the arms of the Lord. Amen. Thank God for that. But, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and sitting idly in the house, waiting on revival, waiting till I get my life straight, waiting till I get a few more issues. No. No. Come on. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All those precious saints, all those gray-haired moms and dads, all the great patriarchs of old, glory to God, the death, the grave cannot hold them. Hallelujah. The dead in Christ is going to rise first. And we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Man. What is it the Bible says? Your old man will dream dreams and your young man will see visions. Can I tell y'all I'm getting his dreams? Church is not that funny. But I have had some reoccurring dreams. And I'm not one that tries to read too much into dreams. But this dream where all of a sudden my body loses gravitational pull. And I begin to float. In my dream, that is the most miraculous feeling. It's just, I don't even have to flap my wings. I'm just kind of, has anybody else ever had that dream? You're just kind of going up in the air and you're kind of hovering around and you're looking over everything. And just, it's a wonderful, glorious feeling. I don't know. Not trying to interpret dreams, but maybe the Lord Jesus says, just want to give you just a little bit of an inkling of how it's going to be. Amen. When we meet Him in the air. And we will be with Him forever. And we will be those precious saints forever. We'll see mom again. We'll see dad again. We'll see grandpa and grandma. We'll see all those precious saints. But what I want to see is Jesus coming back in the same manner that he went away. Glory to God. Hallelujah. No, he's not 4 days late. He knew when he was coming all along. Church, hold on. He's not late. He hadn't forgot us. Glory to God. He hadn't forgot us. He's coming back. I know we're getting antsy. I got to share this. Why is it that when we're waiting, time seems to stand still? I went hunting with my good brother, Lynn Covington, in South Carolina. And they dropped me off in this place where I was going to hunt. And they said, we'll be back to pick you up. I don't even think he gave me a time. We'll be back to pick you up. Well, it got dark. I said, even if a deer comes up, I couldn't see it. I'm going to get down, and I'm going to go back and stand by the road and wait on them. Surely they'll be by shortly. I got down. I didn't run. I took plenty of time. I walked. And I'm looking, and I believe every star in heaven was out. And it was in the middle of a pine. I mean, pines everywhere you go. And there was boogers in them pines too. I don't know how big coyotes get around here, but up there in South Carolina. And I was just standing there. And I got to thinking, he did tell me he's coming back, right? And I'll tell you how long ago it was. I didn't even have a cell phone. And there wasn't a payphone around anywhere in them pine trees. I thought about building a smoke signal, but I didn't have any matches. But I waited, and you know, time just, I mean, and I'm almost to the point of said, you know what? If I was to walk out of here, which way would I go? No, that's not good. They say stand still. Somebody will eventually show up. And I was standing there. And I mean, it was getting dark. And I'm thinking, I know Lynn shoots deer dark. But is he going to wait till the morning light to come? But then all of a sudden, in the distance, I saw two little headlights coming. I said, yep, he didn't forget me. He didn't come when I wanted him to, but he didn't forget me. And he came up on the four-wheeler and got me. And everything was all right. He said, you okay? Oh, yeah, never better. I'm fine. Little darkness never hurt nobody. Go ahead and take the bullet out of your gun now so you'll be all right. But anyway, Jesus is coming. You may not see the light down here. And you may think this world couldn't get any darker. And I'll just about agree with you. But I will assure you that the great I am is coming back. And he's seeing everything that's going on. Then we which are alive. I know that means alive here, but I think it also means alive here. You see, I was dead in my sins until Jesus Christ came in and took up his abode, and then he made me alive. Glory to God. Listen, the church needs to let the world know that Jesus is coming. We'll be laughed at. We'll be ridiculed. We'll be called all manner of different names, but that's all right. Jesus is coming. I will guarantee you that when he does split those skies, they're going to wish they had listened to the church. And before I dismiss, there's anyone here in the congregation who have been meaning and intending to get right with the Lord, can I encourage you to do it now? She rose immediately and went to Jesus when he called. You say, well,
Jesus hadn't really called me. Oh, yes, he has. And you know, here's the terrible thing about it. He's only obligated to call you one time. But because he loves us, he keeps calling and calling and calling. Would you please come unto me? Now is the time. Would you stand? Please, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you don't remember anything else that I've preached in this message, remember with all urgency that Jesus is coming. Those of you that may be viewing by live stream, Jesus is coming. Precious saints of God, I know it's been a long and weary road. And I know that many of you are praying, even though, Lord, come quickly. I want you to know it's going to be in His time, not our time. But He will come, and He is coming. Pray that each and every one of our loved ones, all that we can come in contact with, those that we meet in the grocery stores, those that work around us, will in fact hear the call and answer the call and go and meet Jesus before it's everlasting too late. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if there's one today that's uncertain, if there's one today that's grown cold and indifferent because of situations of hurtfulness, of anger that's filled your heart, I pray that you would come and make it right before it's everlasting too late. I won't tarry because you and God knows your heart. And you and God knows where you stand. But know this, Jesus is coming. May God bless you. May God keep you. If I don't see you again, I'll see you in heaven. Brother Jim, if you would come. Dismiss us with a word of prayer.
May God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Praise God in heaven. Hallelujah. This altar is still open and will remain open if anyone needs prayer this morning. Call from God. What else? You know, He is real. He is love. But He's asking us to take that move of faith and to turn it all over to Him. Just praise the Lord. If all hearts and minds are clear, just say yes.
Remember, we
need
to feel family.
Yes. Okay. Amen. Choir practice at 5. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. I know it's a large group of folks.
Yes,
yes, ma'am. Amen. Yes. Sister Linda.
And my neighbors are the Stems, and their daughter fought with kidney cancer for about 4 years. She died also this week. So they're taking it real hard. They had to take care of her completely for the last month. So.
Absolutely. All these prayer requests and needs as we prepare to dismiss, but also the time. God's still calling. There are those families that need prayer, but if they just know, just let them have that peace that only the Lord can provide, knowing where they are and that they're in heaven now. And we're just going to pray for those that have lost loved ones, those that are struggling right now. Just praise the Lord. Don't forget, choir practice this evening at 5 p.m. Praise God. Alrighty. Well, this prayer will be dismissed. Invite you all back for church this evening, too. Love to have you. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise Your holy name. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your message, for Your word, dear Lord. Lord, as we've heard these spoken prayer requests this evening, dear Lord, for those that have lost their loved ones, those families that are struggling, but, dear Lord, we just ask for Your peace to be amongst them, and, dear Lord, for them to find that peace in You. And, dear Lord, for each and every one that's heard this message this morning, dear Lord, that we will have that hope and that peace that You are our Lord and Savior. And, dear Lord, if there's anyone still struggling or anyone that's feeling Your call or that pull from You, dear Lord, Lord, continue to call on them, dear Lord. Give them that opportunity. Lord, we pray for them right now. And, dear Lord, we give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say,
amen,
amen. Amen. Praise God.